Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And about a narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it.
Thank you, Brother Woods, for that reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Thank you very much for following along. A familiar passage, no doubt, one that you have heard many times if you have been a student of the Bible very long. Have you ever gotten lost in a building and you have had some difficulty finding your way out? If you've never had that experience, I don't wish this on you, but Jackson General, okay? When they take you down into the deep catacombs of where they do the surgery, it's like you're going in an ant tunnel. And it's just an endless maze of doors and hallways. And I'm usually pretty good about directions, which way is north, south, east, and west. But after a few turns going through the catacombs of that place, I can't tell which way is up and which way is down. There are all kinds of hallways and doors and what's behind this door. And if there was a fire, I would have to depend on somebody else to get me out of that place. I'd be totally lost. Which door do I go through to get out of here? That's kind of a frightening experience, and I'm not claustrophobic, but that's kind of a frightening experience. How do I get out? If my life depends on it, how do I get out of here? I have to select a door to go through, some way to find my way out. But the great comfort is the people that work there know how to get out, and if I follow one of those people, they'll lead me out. Well, in our passage today, Jesus talks about a way, a gate, a pathway, a door, something that we go through, something that we follow. And Jesus shows us that there is a way that leads to life. And also, there is a way that leads to destruction. And one gate and road is narrow, and it's difficult, and it's entered by few, but it leads to life. And the other gate, or way, is wide and it's broad and it's entered by many and it leads to destruction. In this lesson this morning, we'll concentrate on the expression, and there are few who find it. Why do only a few find the narrow way? The first thing I want to suggest to you is because of the language of the text. You find the narrow way because it's a strict way. It is a difficult way. It is rigorous. It takes effort to find that way. It takes determination to find that way. The word in the King James Version that many of us have read because we've read the King James Version is straight. Straight is the way. S-T-R-A-I-T, not straight as without curve, but a word which means nearly the same thing as the word narrow. And it means being narrow or restricted or hemmed in, hard pressed. As Paul said, I'm in a strait between two choices. I want to leave and be with the Lord, but I want to stay here and be with you and help you, believers, in Philippians 1 and verse 23. The King James Version and the American Standard Version use two words interchangeably. In the King James Version, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Whereas in the American Standard Version, narrow is the gate and straightened the way. The New King James Version puts it this way, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. And that hits the nail right on the head, I think. The ancient roads of Palestine were such that they served the perfect background for the Lord to be able to contrast a broad way, flatlands that were broad and many people traveled them without difficulty. But in the higher elevations, in the mountains, in the valleys of the land, there were narrow passageways that many times became difficult to travel. And they would be a good hiding place for thieves and robbers. Our Lord's use of words shows that the way to life is hard. It's rigorous. It's difficult. As if one were being squeezed and pushed into a tight opening. In his discussion of the parable of the closed door, Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able," in Luke 13 and verse 24. It's interesting to me that the Greek term translated into the English term strive in that passage is the word from which we get our word agony or agonize. It takes some inner agony. It takes some inner agonizing to enter the straight and narrow way. The implication is, of course, that very much effort is required to go to heaven. And we are people who want to put forth that necessary effort, aren't we? Those who enter the narrow gate will also travel on the way that is narrow. And the Greek verb translated is narrow can also mean compress, restrict, and afflict even. The road traveled by Jesus' disciples would be filled with afflictions, filled with persecutions, with difficulties, with struggles, and for some of them even death. Jesus' point is very clear. He required people to make a choice between two available options, two alternative ways of life with two dramatically different destinations, eternal life or eternal ruin. Of the two paths, we can't follow both. We can only follow one. And by choosing one, we are rejecting the other. They begin at two different places. They do not intersect, and they do not have any shortcuts from one to the other. And it is in this life that you and I must decide which of those roads we will take, which one we will walk, and which destination we desire to arrive. If we choose to avoid the decision, then that's the same as deciding not to walk on the narrow way, the difficult way. Jesus urged his hearers to walk the narrow way because the alternative leads to tragic ruin. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction in our text. The broad or spacious path has no requirements or restrictions. It does not demand any kind of commitment. It doesn't demand of us that we have a standard of morals to live by. It doesn't demand that we strive for spiritual maturity. But its final reward is death and destruction. Romans 6 and verse 23 speaks of that. But because it is wide and inviting, many will choose to travel it, even though it is a deadly path. Many people do not enter the narrow way because of the great difficulty involved. They don't want to put forth the effort. Being a Christian is the most challenging task that any person faces in this life. I'm not telling you anything new. You know it's not easy to be a Christian. It takes all that we have. It takes all of our inner strength, every bit we can get, plus a little bit more, to be successful. It takes our whole being, Mark 12 and verse 30. Most people shun a difficult task, don't they? Even the great Moses. When the Lord said, I want you to go into Egypt and rescue my people and bring them out. Did Moses say, I know that's a difficult task, so I'll immediately step up to the challenge? We don't see that even out of Moses, do we? Moses began to back up and say, I'm not really a good speaker. I don't know if I'm the guy that's cut out for this. Why don't you just look for someone else? There are many examples in the Scriptures of those who courageously accepted difficult challenges, even at the beginning when they said, oh, that's not for me. But after thinking about it, after realizing, maybe it is for me. Let us, like them, continually remind ourselves that even though the way is strict, and even though it is difficult, and even though it demands great rigor on our part, the reward is so far greater than you and I can even imagine. And that has to keep us going, and that has to keep us thinking positively about it and being confident in our ability to please the Lord by our lives. Don't you think? Secondly, a lot of people can't choose the straight and narrow way because of prejudice. Prejudice is forming an opinion or holding to something as true without examining all the facts. Prejudging means drawing conclusions without specific evidence available to draw the right and correct conclusion. Premature judgment. It's really an unreasoned bent without due examination or knowledge. It is bias. It's an ugly, ungodly, unrighteous attitude that causes us to ignore the Creator and to mistreat His creatures. Prejudice is ugly, whatever form it comes in. It closes eyes to beauty. It stops ears to the truth. It steals from us the rationality that is our God-given heritage. It has burned as witches young people whose only difficulty and wrong was they were different from somebody else. They lived a different way. They were misunderstood. Prejudice has deprived man of noble ideals because they were new. Prejudice has deprived man of marvelous developments because they were not understood, because they called for change. Prejudice has crushed brotherly love and built fortresses of spite, malice, and hatred. There's not anything good about prejudice. And what's more, self-serving prejudice creates in the one who harbors it a distorted sense of greatness. And the only way to get through to that person is agree with that person's prejudices. That's the only way he'll listen to you. Isn't that a horrible thing? He defies justice and justifies foolishness. And that's the way he chooses to live. With the wisdom of a fool, he enthrones himself and he shuts God out of his life. For we must be taught of God. And a prejudiced man will not be taught anything greater than his own personal prejudices. And that's sad. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21, the Scripture, the Bible says, I charge thee in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels. boy, when you read that, here's a serious charge coming up. I charge you that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing by partiality. That's the American Standard Version. The New American Standard Version says, observe these things without bias. Same thing. Many today have their preconceived ideas about how the religion of Christ should be. For example, Jesus said, small and narrow in Matthew 7 and verse 14. However, many are out there proclaiming, broad is the way to heaven. Choose your own way. Attend the church of your choice. Practice the religion of your choice, of your desire. Jesus never said anything like that. We are all going to the same place, but by different ways. Have you ever heard such foolishness? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus is talking about a narrow way, a way of difficulty. A lot of people have preconceived ideas that most religious people will be saved because they are good moral people. Jesus never said that. There's not a hint of that kind of philosophy in our text for our lesson today. Not a hint. Let us put away prejudice and simply go to the Bible with open minds in order to learn what God wants to teach us about His will. And how difficult or how easy it may be to have heaven after a while. Let's let God define that for us. Let's let Jesus tell us the way. 2 Corinthians 13:5, we must test ourselves and examine ourselves to determine if we are in the faith. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, we must be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you as a believer. Prejudice kills. And prejudice takes the broad path in life that leads to destruction. It's not the narrow way. Why don't people find the narrow way? Why won't they stay on the narrow way? And one reason is because of deception. There are many false prophets in the world disguised as preachers of the gospel. Hear what the gospel record says in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. For such men are false apostles. The true apostle said that. He described them as deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Evil works with disguises, doesn't it? Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. That's destruction. That's the broad way. And what about 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2? But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Peter said that to believers. Peter said that to Christians. There'll be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. You know, it would be somewhat interesting if you said, people would be able to spot them right off. Only a few will be deceived and follow them, but that's not what he said, was it? He said many will follow them. It's significant that Matthew 7, 15 through 20 follows Matthew 7, 13 and 14, our text for today. And here's what it says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. A picture of the destruction that Jesus is talking about in our text. So then, you will know them by their fruits. If they're so dangerous and so many people follow them, how can we be able to detect who they are? You know them by what they do. You know them by their fruits. You know them by what they teach. No one will be excused because he's been deceived, unfortunately. We're not to be children tossed and carried about by the teachings of men, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. We're not to be that. The right way to avoid being deceived is to copy the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, who examine the scriptures daily to see if the things that they were hearing were harmonious with the truth of God. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because why? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's not a surprise, should not be a surprise to believers that there are many false teachers in our religious world. That shouldn't surprise us as students of the Bible. The Bible tells us plainly many false teachers are out in the world. We need to be careful. Why will people choose the broad way over the narrow way? Because people give in to peer pressure. We see that all the time, don't we? Many surrender to the pressures of family and friends and associates, religious leaders. The parents of the man who was born blind failed to confess Jesus because they feared the religious leaders. In the Gospel of John chapter 9, 18 through 22, it was not because they did not know. They had the strong, open testimony of their own son. It wasn't because they didn't know, but because the pressures that men put on them, pressures from other people, the fear of my life being discomforted by someone else would cause me to flip-flop on what I believe and what I don't believe, the truth of the matter. And that pressure can be very great at times. Many of the rulers believed on Jesus but didn't confess him because they wanted the admiration of their fellow men in John 12. Many believed on Jesus and didn't confess him because they were afraid they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. The fear from the pressure of men. For this same reason, many did not believe Jesus at all. In John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name, Jesus said, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. What's the difference? He goes on to say, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Yes, there is a narrow way. And it's seeking the glory of the one and only God. And that takes effort. For one to be of the narrow way, he cannot follow anyone. For one to be of the narrow way, he cannot allow anyone to discourage him, to pressure him, to force him against his better judgment, or in any way hinder that person from finding the narrow way and following it. He can't submit to any wishes of anyone but God only. People give in to peer pressure. It's hard sometimes, especially for our young people. Everyone around them influences them. Now, these are the kind of clothes you need to wear. And you need to have this brand of shoes. You know, young people are influenced by that so very much. I was on the golf course one day with a young person, and he wanted to know what brand was on the cleats that were on the bottom of my shoes. Now, that's how crazy that sort of thing can get. Peer pressure. It's real. It's hard to resist sometimes. And people will miss the narrow way because of peer pressure. Also, they'll miss it because people are easily preoccupied with the things of this world. We see everything that goes on around about us. We live in this life. We walk this way or that way. We go to this place or that place. We talk with this person and that person. We're very much connected with all of the things that are going on in this life. And because it captivates our attention every waking minute of every day, we can begin to think in terms, maybe even subconsciously, maybe without realizing it, that this life is really all there is. Or that this life is most important for me right now. We need to consider ourselves as debtors, as Paul did in Romans 1, 14 and 15. Let us be like the early Christians who in Acts 8 and 4 went about preaching the word. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, Paul told those believers. In every place your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. We need to proclaim the word at every available opportunity that we have. And we should not consider that a hard task and a heavy burden, but rather a joy and a privilege to first be able to have knowledge of God's truth that so many before us didn't have. We are blessed to have that knowledge, that revelation from God. But we become so preoccupied with what's going on now. What is going on now? Don't people have an interest in their own soul? The narrow way, the straight way. And you talk to someone who's on this broad way, and even their concept of God is influenced by other people in the world and what's going on with it. I was talking to a man at Lowe's recently. And he was telling me that God used to be this way where he punished people for doing bad, but he's not that way anymore. Oh, really? Romans 11 and verse 22, we are told, behold the kindness and the severity of God. That's the kind of thing you would expect if you're thinking about a broad way that leads to destruction and a narrow way that leads to life. God authored that, both of the way, and it's narrow. God is the author of that. And the devil will take you down the wrong way. So many people don't understand the value of the soul, their own soul. Many people do not fear God, as Paul said, fear God in his writings. Many people think that God is so merciful that somehow, some way, they'll get by with everything they do wrong in this life. When the Bible says it's not going to be that way. You better think about, you better pay attention to, you better listen to the severity of God, the kindness and severity of God to those who fail. Severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. God will render vengeance on all those who don't know Him and who do not do His will in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. If we're going to find the narrow way, we have to come to have a genuine interest in saving the souls of people around us and especially saving our own soul. Very important for us to do that. Love the truth. And, of course, we want to tell others about it. As we suggested, the early Christians did, when they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. They weren't people who were preoccupied with what was going on in this life and what was going on in this world. They were people who wanted to leave this world and be with the Lord. Those are believers. And we, like them, should tell others about the truth. Every possible opportunity that we have to do so. It's important to do those very things. The more we're diligent in proclaiming the word at every opportunity that we have, the more people will find the narrow way. Don't you think? So let us be servants of the Lord and go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. The Lord's issued the marriage supper invitation. All things are ready. Come to the feast. You know, we're getting ready in about 2 weeks to start a gospel meeting here, and we're going to be here on Monday through Friday nights, all week during the week. What a great time to have invitations to our friends and neighbors to come and hear the gospel preached. Meet some believers in the community. Meet people who love and respect God's word. What a great opportunity that is for us to take advantage of. Let us prepare ourselves to always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us of the reason of the hope that is in us, yet with meekness and fear, as Peter admonishes in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And let us maintain this attitude of Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Here am I, send me. Who's going to do God's work? Here am I. Send me, Lord. That was the attitude of Isaiah a long time ago. You see, these are things that influence people and encourage them to make the choice of the easy way with no difficulty, no added rigor to it. But that's not the way that the Lord outlined for us. Why do only a few find the way that leads to life? Because that way is strict. It's difficult. It's hard. Because many people are prejudiced and blinded to the truth. Because many people have been deceived by false teachers. Because they surrender to the pressures of family or friends, neighbors, acquaintances, work associates, or even religious leaders. Because many people are so preoccupied with what's going on here and now in this life that they fail to put the important considerations on what's going to happen after death. Because we as Christians fail to tell them about the narrow way. Remember, Jesus gave only two choices. There's no third alternative. Remember that the way that most people choose is the easy road, and nearly everyone is traveling that road unrestricted, and there's room for everyone's opinion, and there's room for everyone's doctrine and everyone's religious practice, and there's room for everyone to do what comes naturally for them to do, to be a lover of self and enjoy the pleasures of sin. There's no need to go through the struggle of learning what the true religion is. But remember where that path leads. Jesus said it leads to destruction. Or you can travel the other road. There are only going to be few on that road. And remember, that road is strict and is difficult, setting before us a great challenge. The boundaries, it has boundaries. The boundaries of it are ordained by heaven. The way of truth, it requires sacrifice and self-denial and obedience. And it's not easy. We've got an enemy after us all the way. But be assured, this is the way that leads to life. And I know it because our Lord said it. Jesus is encouraging us to travel it. That's what he's doing when he says, enter in. Enter in. That's an encouragement. Come on in, he says. Just understand, that way is difficult. If we can assist you in following that difficult way that leads to life, and we all need assistance, but if we can assist you today in choosing that path for your life. We'll do everything in our power to help you stay on it. We'll try to encourage you, help you, strengthen you, so that one day, if you live long enough in this life as a believer, you'll be a strength, a source of strength, a source of wisdom, a source of encouragement and help for other people. And the Lord will take us to heaven, the place prepared for us. But if you're not a Christian, you can't go there. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He died for your sins on the cross. You have to believe that. There's no other alternative. That's the straight way. You have to be willing to confess Him before men, and that shows that you're going to be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. You have to be willing to repent of your sins, because when others look at you, they can't see that you live a dirty lifestyle and claim to follow the holy God. That's important too. And you have to recognize that Christ died for you by submitting to the act of baptism in water, which is a burial in water that pictures the burial of Christ. It pictures resurrection, in that the old man is buried in water and raised to walk in a new life, just as Jesus was buried in the tomb and resurrected from the dead. And when you're raised to walk in newness of life, all of your past sins are gone. They're gone away. As far as the east is from the west, they're cast into the depths of the sea to be brought up no more. They're gone forever. And you live as a Christian. And you know when you die, heaven will be your home. You know, what a great blessing that is. If there's anyone here today who needs to become a Christian and we can help you, we'd be delighted to do it. Let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing number 348. May God bless you in the choice that you make today.